bring somebody here. Good DNA, Jesus, Bible, okay. Well, you guys are amazing. You know, often the sound guys and the AV guys, they totally get overlooked. And we appreciate you guys so much running around this morning. You guys are beautiful. Come on. So the reality is Jesus came as medicine to the world. Jesus came to heal what is broken in the world. And the planet is waiting for the redemption. There's a hunger in the earth that's waiting for this. Romans 8, 19 to 22 says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when we will join God's children in the glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." So that is the reality. So the world is broken, and Jesus came to bring healing. And then God has put his very body in place, which is the church, and he's the head to reach the lost. That is God's plan through Jesus. So it's like God is the doctor, the church is the syringe, and the gospel is the medicine. How beautiful is that? That's how far my medical knowledge goes, guys. So often we see the syringe is broken. The church is often broken because we compromise. And we as his people cannot compromise on the truth. We as the church cannot compromise on what the Lord has already laid out for us. And so many times there is compromise. The other day I preached and I used the comparison between the world and the church. Worldly values and church values. And there's a great author that said, "Show me the world today, and I will tell you what the church will be saying in 7 years' time." Because often we compromise because we do not want to lose people. And we do not want to be hated by people. But Jesus said, "The very truth that I'm speaking, when you speak, that you will be hated." The church is God's plan A. There is no plan B. God has designed to use the church to reach the lost. It is the vehicle through which God will display his wisdom, his presence. It is the stage on where God displays his glory to the world. When the church is broken, Satan loves it. Because that's God's plan, you're missing it. Eh? Church is not a Sunday service. It is not just members being part of something and feeling good. God has designed church to reach the lost. This is not man's plan. Are we reflecting God's nature as a church? Is there unity amongst us? Because there is unity between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A house divided against itself will not stand. And through that, Jesus said in Matthew 18, 28, verse 19 to 20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus said, go and make disciples. Often we overcomplicate the go. We think, okay, we need to attend seven functions and seven equip times, and then we are disciples. No. Go means in your daily walk. become disciples of Jesus by submitting to one another so that we can build into each other and make disciples so that we can reflect the person of Jesus. And often we sit and wait for the church leaders to do something, and then we said, okay, we attended this training, okay, we qualified now. That is unfortunately not very accurate. The church is the body where each and every individual fully functions what God has called them into. It is not joining a church on a Sunday. It is not going to a community during the week. It is walking in what the Lord has for us as a body. Are we producing disciples? Are we open to discipleship? Man, this was probably one of the most difficult things you'll ever do. Being discipled. Like Jesus discipled his disciples. That means speaking the truth. This couple that we prayed in as deacons, man, they were open to discipleship. Man, they were open to input in their life. And should we, as elders, Paul said, we are the least of you all. We should wash your feet. It's not about the man standing in front. The only person worthy to be elevated in this place is Jesus. No one else. No one else. And then we look at the first church, the early church in the book of Acts, which is beautiful. Acts 2:42. There goes my voice. Okay. Okay, can you just open that water for me? Thank you. Ultimately. Thank you. The man finds a wife. Finds a good thing. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Hey? A deep sense of awe. Oh! And the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Beautiful. Thank you, Felicia. They sold the property and the possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. Each day. That's next level. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is the example of healthy church. It is not having big events and 7,000 people come and all go home again. We need to get into each other's lives. God has designed a structure for us so that we don't struggle. We need it, okay? Because otherwise man starts making his own plans. And that's dangerous. Amen. Yeah. I missed my one scripture here quickly. Ephesians 4. There's a scripture there with Ephesians 4. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Now listen, listen how quickly the church can become broken. Listen how quickly, how easy this is. These are the gifts Jesus gave to the church. The apostles. How many people here have a boom if you hear apostles? The apostolic. Huh? Okay, that's reality, guys. The prophets, prophet of the nation. The evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. The problem is we made it about the gifts. and not about his bride anymore. But the reality is God has put those things in place. So when we talk about the apostolic ministry, there's no guy coming in here on a red carpet and then throwing things around. It is those who are gifted with the gift of the apostolic to make sure that we stay in line with what the early apostles wrote. They can't add to the Bible. They are not the man. The gifts are not the man. When we make it about the gifts, oh, we lost it right there. But we receive the gifts. And because we receive them, we receive the reward of the gift. But it's not about the gift. It's about the bride. To equip the saints, God's people, to do his work. For the church to function healthy. We need all the gifts. Because God has placed it. No man has done that. Jesus has put that in place. The responsibility. Oh man, when you carry the title, you don't carry out your responsibility. When you make it about yourself. Oh, we will stand before him. May the fear of the Lord come upon them that does that. It's not our place. Only Jesus is worthy to be glorified. So the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They devoted themselves to it. They were fellowshipping together. You know that Jesus said, the whole world will know that you're my disciples is if you love one another. Love cannot be cheated. You can't put a mask on and say, this is my love mask. It won't be tested. Love will be tested. No greater love is there than one who lays down his life for his friends. Love will be tested. They were fellowshipping. They were breaking bread. Remembering Jesus together. And they were praying together. How often do we pray together? How amazing was it to hear all the testimonies of the communities this week? Everyone just prayed. Come on, man. We need to strengthen that muscle. They were generous, the early church. There was such a unity amongst them that the presence of God was so tangible that when someone lied, they died. Scary, eh? The fear of the Lord is a good thing. They worship together and they love the people. Through that, they led people to the person of Jesus and God added to their number daily. How beautiful is that? Come on. Church is not a Sunday event. Devil knows that. Our enemy knows that. Honest said this morning about the kingdom of God is suffering violence. And violent men will take it by force. If we don't take the kingdom of God by force, guys, we're going to lose. Because the kingdom of God is suffering violence. The enemy knows the plan that God has designed the church to be. And he's broken that thing. He's broken our understanding of church. Now, I don't go to church if I serve the Lord on my own. I've said it for many years, guys. I've said it for many years. I can send you numbers of guys that can confirm that. So, Satan uses internal corruption in the church. How many times have we seen things happening in church that's so unhealthy? So that's why I don't go to church. The Satan is like, yeah, come on. One soul, I pulled one person away. There's wrong doctrine in churches. Guys compromise, leaders are compromising on the truth because they don't want to offend people. Man, Jesus himself is called the rock of offense. And this unity, house divided against itself, cannot stand. Guys, if we can't serve Jesus together, if we can't lay ourselves down, how can we take the world? If we can't overcome ourselves, often we are the biggest problem. Look in the mirror, but you're a problem, eh? And in another way, how Satan pull people away from the church is through external persecution. Sorry, there's a fishy word that came out there. I saw a couple of smiles there. Thank you, Jesus. So persecution. We as a church are currently being persecuted. Thank you, Jesus. For we are not here to please man, Lord. We are here to please you and follow you well. So that we will love one another. Come on. So external persecution. The fear of doing things right. The fear of doing things right. Zimbabwe is an amazing place to stay. I love it. I take my hat off to all the businessmen here. Man, not to compromise must be difficult. That's the truth. But we can't afford to compromise, guys. How can we be in the light if we take part in the darkness? We need to guard the church. We need to try to treat it as a sacred thing. God is coming back for a pure bride. You know what's amazing is in the early church in Jerusalem when they were being persecuted, they obviously dispersed. I think that's in Acts 8. I'm not going to read it because it's a long scripture and my English is finished. My data is finished. So they scattered all over. That was part of God's plan. So they scattered. But because they tasted a healthy church, they could not but start a healthy church. Because it was in them. Their DNA was Jesus. So whenever they went, deacons went and they planted churches. Come on, man. Because they tasted the goodness of God. So they were like, I'm not going to the synagogue where they just read scriptures. I've tasted life. And I want to have fellowship with my believers. And I want to pray prayer and remember Jesus with my fellow saints. Come on, guys. And there was a guy in Josh Dean called Gerrit. He was a community leader. So Gerrit moved to Richards Bay from a church where I come from, Joshua Generation in Cape Town. He moved to Richard Bay and he didn't find a church that felt like, because he was a part of Joshua. So I'm not saying Joshua is perfect. Guys, no church is perfect. Okay, but it gets better when we recognize it. Okay. But he's tasted the life of fellowship and loving one another and breaking bread together, and he's tasted that life. Now he went to another town and he doesn't find a church where he experiences that. So he phones the guy that leads everything and he says, listen, what is the chances of planting a church in Richards Bay? This oak is a community leader. He just leads a small cell group. So the leader said, listen, this is like going out on the edge. You know what? Start a community group there and we'll see where it goes. God has anointed that oak to such an extent that they planted and multiplied churches already in Richard Bay. Hey? Because he's tasted the goodness of what God has designed. So as when we look at ourselves as a church, what are we producing? When we look at our DNA, what does that look like? We have to reflect on ourselves to make sure that we don't think that we got it. What are we reproducing? The problem is often churches are self-sufficient. So if I lead a church without having input from the outside, it will most probably become a worship prophetic church. That's my slant. Worship and prophetic. But now we have guys in the team, the gifts that Jesus has put in place, that comes to visit us. And the first thing they do is not to look at the numbers of the church. They look at our relationship between my wife and myself. They look at my children. Am I raising them in the ways of the Lord? And then from there, they look at the church and say, hey, Anton, you're leaning towards this side, my friend. The Bible explains this and this and this. You need to allow this and this to happen for the church to walk in maturity. That's the beauty of the gifts that the Lord has given. I have another 40 minutes. So when we do church right, guys, we will taste of the Lord. When all the members of the body comes together and they start functioning well, you will taste something of Jesus. It will be so imperfect. It will be so messy. It will be so all over the place, but man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. God has designed it that way. It's not a perfect organization, guys. It is the body of Jesus Christ. When we do it right, God will add to our numbers. How often are we focused inside and not outside? God has given the church to reach the lost. How many guys have we brought to church? How many guys have we invited to communities? Are we waiting for the elders to do it? We are the very hands and feet of Jesus. The church is calling for his people to walk in maturity, to give themselves fully for what the Lord has for them, to give themselves to discipleship. You know how many times during discipleship I wanted to punch an elder? No. Oh, countless times. Because they would used to say these things that hurt me. Cut so deep. Hey, Anton. Yes, worship was amazing. But the way you treat your wife is really not reflecting Jesus. Maybe you should stop leading worship and focus on your wife for a season. I wanted to punch him. So I want to challenge you guys today. Let's give ourselves to what the Lord has designed. Let's give ourselves to what God has put in place. No man. And man, if we miss it, come and tell us. If we miss it, come and tell us. We need to wrestle with the word. I often tell clever guys, not like me, I often tell them, if I say something that's challenging in your heart, come and wrestle. Please come and wrestle. Don't just accept what I'm saying. Test the very word that comes out of the mouth of the teachers. Because woe to the teachers, because judgment will be worse on them. We are not called to settle, guys. We are called to obey. We are called to give ourselves. For Jesus has done that very thing. He's given himself fully for us, so that we might have life, so that we can experience love. Love will be tested in so many ways. God is looking for healthy churches. And that means each and everyone does their part. Not a good teaching. I'm so glad that Paul said, I did not come to you with clever words. Because I would have struggled. So there's the thing of just simple obedience. So when you guys have communities on a Wednesday or during the week, go with the expectant heart. Know that the Lord can use a broken vessel. I mean, come on, I'm standing here. God can use a broken vessel to do his work. Be expectant when we gather together. Last week, we preached about image bearers here in our Harare congregation. We are carrying the very image of Christ when we are in line with what he has designed. So the challenge this morning is give yourself free. Let's give ourselves to what the Lord has designed. Let's make mistakes and apologize and get over it. Come on. So that is what I wanted to share with you guys this morning. I really just felt in the Lord, you know, often we need to be reminded that everything has been done for his bride. God has come to reach the lost. But when the church is not healthy, we will not be able to do that effectively. You know how many missionaries goes out and lead people to Jesus? They give them a lot of gifts and then disappear. Make disciples of nations. You know, it's, I'm new in Zimbabwe, and it's so amazing. We had a leader's time in May or March, I can't remember. And the guy said to me, one of the elders in the other churches in the surrounding areas came and said, a guy came to him and said, listen, since I've given my heart to the Lord, I've lost everything. What are you going to give me? So now I don't understand the context of this. I'm from South Africa. It's a different continent. Okay. So his question was that. So in my mind, I'm like, bro, you have eternal life. It's like, come on. And then some of the African brothers told me, listen, my friend, the reason why I'm telling that is because so many times missionaries would go to the villages, they would share Jesus and give them stuff and then leave. So now the mindset has been born to such a place that, listen, in order for you to receive the gospel, I'll give you something to receive the gospel. But the reality of the gospel is you will lose your life for the gospel. You see how Satan can use something beautiful for bad. So let's be intentional. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. I thank you, Lord, that you do not leave this church thing for us to figure out, but that you've given us a blueprint, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your very spirit, Lord, so that when we miss it, which is so often, Lord, that you can just realign us with your plan. I pray, Lord, for a spirit of humility. I pray, Lord, that we will come together and love one another. Father, I want to pray that we don't speak the right things, but that we will do it. Father, I pray that when the world look at us as a church, that they will see your love, Jesus, for us. Thank you that this is by your design, Lord. We submit ourselves to you, Jesus. We submit ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. While every eye is closed, I just want to ask, every eye closed, if there's anyone here today that has not yet received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, if there's anyone here today that has not yet surrendered their lives to Jesus, and you feel, I want to do this thing right. Lord, I want to give myself to this beautiful thing that you've given us. I want you to raise your hand. Every eye is closed. Every eye is closed. You know, it's about the one. Every eye is closed. Thank you for that, Lord. I want to extend it. If there's anyone here that's feeling that pressure feeling in your chest right now, and you have not yet received the Lord as your Savior, raise your hand. Come on. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How heaven is celebrating now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time as we fellowship together and just glorify you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are our first love. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.